And this is going to be our last sermon in this series. I hope you've enjoyed going through this book just as much as I have. If you remember, at the beginning of this book, Paul bursts into praise about the grace of God. The grace of God towards those who believe. He wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And then he lists some of those blessings. He said that we were elected or chosen in love before the foundation of the world. We were predestined for adoption. We were redeemed by the blood of Christ and forgiven according to the riches of God's grace. We were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 2, Paul went on to point out that we were saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He said we were dead in our sins and trespasses, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even while we were dead in our sins and trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And he said again, by grace you have been saved. And he has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. We are saved by grace. This is not your own doing. There is nothing that we do in salvation. It is the gift of God. And then Paul went on to explain how Christ has brought us near to God and to each other through the blood of Christ. Jesus has broken down that dividing wall of hostility. So now that Jews and Gentiles are one in Christ. And he explained this mystery that was hidden for ages that has now been revealed. This mystery that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. And Paul says that he was made a minister to proclaim this gospel. And then at the end of chapter 3, Paul prayed that the Ephesians would have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ, and that they would be filled with the fullness of God. And he reminded them that God is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. What an incredible truth that with our God, nothing is impossible. Chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians is all gospel explanation. Paul expounds these great doctrines and he exposes us to these deep riches of God's grace. And then in chapters 4 to 6, it's all gospel application. Paul talks about how to live our lives in response to the gospel, in response to who we are now in Christ. And in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul encourages Christians to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which they've been called, and to be eager to maintain unity that we have in Christ. He talked about the gifts that Jesus has given his church, pastors and teachers, and that the task given to them is to equip the saints, the people of God, the members of the church, for the work of ministry, in order that those in the church would grow spiritually, so that the body grows and builds itself up in love. Then he talked about the new life we have in Christ, that we have put off the old self, which belongs to our former manner of life. And we have been and are being renewed in the spirit of our minds. And we have put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And then in chapter 5, Paul returned to that theme of walking. And he told us to be imitators of God, that we are to walk in love. We are to walk in light as children of light, and to walk wisely and be filled with the Spirit. And then he addresses specific areas of our lives and explains how the gospel should shape them. how wives should submit to their husbands, and how husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church, that children are to submit to their parents, and how fathers should be the spiritual leaders in their home and not provoke their children to anger. And then he told those who were slaves that had come to Christ, who had become Christians, who were wondering how they were to honor God with their lives. And he told them to obey their masters and to do their work as to the Lord. And then he turned to the masters and he told them to do the same thing and to stop threatening those underneath them. And then finally, he told all the church to be strong in the Lord, because we are at war. There is a spiritual battle that is raging on all around us, and we cannot fight it in our own strength. And so we are to stand firm against our enemy with God's armor and with God's strength. And he encouraged the Ephesians to be alert and to persevere in prayer and continually pray for all the saints, and then pray for him. Pray for his boldness in proclaiming the gospel. And that leads us to our text this morning, where Paul gives his final greetings to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 21, Paul writes, "So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible." This is God's word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for revealing your love to us in the gospel, for sending your son Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. And Lord, we thank you for the scriptures, the fact that we have a Bible in our own hands, your word, one that we can read that is able to make us wise to the way of salvation. Bless us with the Holy Spirit as we study your word today. Bring encouragement and conviction, all for the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, as we look at these final verses, we could be tempted to read through them quickly, to dismiss a name that we're not familiar with, and to think that these words are not that important. And yet we would be missing out. And all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. And I hope that you will see that this morning as we study these last four verses. In them, we see Paul's pastoral heart for this congregation at Ephesus. Paul is very thoughtful in what he writes here. And he does two things as he ends this letter. He sends a brother, Tychicus, and he pronounces a benediction. And so I've divided up my sermon in those two ways. In verses 21 to 22, we're going to see the beloved brother. The beloved brother. And then in verses 23 to 24, we will see the double benediction. So the beloved brother and the double benediction. And the main point, what I hope you see in the text this morning, is simply this: that those who love Jesus seek to encourage one another and rely on God's grace. Those who love Jesus seek to encourage one another and rely on God's grace. All right, so let's first consider the beloved brother. Paul writes in verse 21, "So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything." Now, remember, Paul is writing this letter from prison. He's described himself as a prisoner for the Lord and an ambassador in chains. His perspective of his situation was definitely shaped by the gospel. While he was a prisoner to the Roman authorities, he knew that he was only in that situation because it was the Lord's will. Now, Paul was a prisoner, but he was not in a prison cell. He was under house arrest. We read about this at the end of the book of Acts, where Luke writes that Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And then later on, Luke wrote, he lived there for 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So Paul's in Rome, and he's living in this house that he's renting, but he's under arrest. There's a soldier watching him, guarding him, and yet there are people coming to him. And Paul took this opportunity as a prisoner to proclaim the gospel, to not feel sorry for himself, but to proclaim the gospel and then write letters to the churches that he founded. He was awaiting trial because he was trying to appeal to Caesar, and he actually was eventually let go of this imprisonment. But then later he was rearrested and tried and was sentenced to death and killed outside the city of Rome. But here, as he's writing to the Ephesians, he's under house arrest, and hearing that he was in prison would have made those in the congregation at Ephesus wonder, how's Paul doing? What's it like? Paul had close relationships with these believers in Ephesus. In Acts chapter 19, we read about Paul going to Ephesus and preaching the gospel and founding the church there. He ministered in Ephesus for more than 2 years. He knew these people, and they knew him. In Acts chapter 20, we have this beautiful scene where Paul is saying goodbye to the elders of the church in Ephesus. And Luke writes, and there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word that he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. Paul and those in the Ephesian church were just like family. These Ephesian elders had a deep affection for him. Luke writes that there was much weeping and sorrow because they wouldn't see him again. And I'm sure that deep affection for him was the same way that the church felt. And so Paul, knowing that they would be wondering how he was, sends this guy Tychicus to them. Now, we don't know much about Tychicus, but what we do know is pretty astounding. Paul calls him the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. Think about that. That's a description. Wouldn't you love to be described that way? A beloved brother or sister and faithful minister in the Lord. The beloved brother. Paul loved this man. He was like a brother to Paul. They were brothers in Christ. And since Paul is sending him, that means that Tychicus was with Paul, right? In Rome. Definitely a beloved brother if you're willing to stick by the side of your friend even while they're in prison. A beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. Tychicus was faithful. He's actually one of the unsung heroes of the New Testament church. Tychicus shows up in Acts chapter 20, and he and this other guy, Trophimus, are listed as the Asians, meaning that they were from this region called Asia Minor. And that was situated on the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea. And some of the cities there were Colossae and Ephesus. And so it's very possible that Tychicus was born in Ephesus and he grew up there. We don't know, though. Tychicus was one of the guys that went with Paul on some of his missionary journeys. He's also mentioned in Paul's letter to the Colossians. In fact, Paul's words in Colossians chapter 4 sound almost exactly the same. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 to 19, Paul writes, "Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you of everything that has taken place here." There's a lot of similarities between the letter to the Ephesians and the letter to the Colossians. And that's because they were written around the same time. And Tychicus was the one chosen to deliver both of these letters. Tychicus is also mentioned at the end of Titus, where Paul says to Titus that he's going to send either Artemis or Tychicus to him so that Titus would be able to come visit Paul. And Tychicus is also mentioned in 2 Timothy. Paul knows that the time of his departure is coming soon, and so he says to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me soon." Paul misses Timothy, and he wants to see him before he goes to be with the Lord. And we read in 2 Timothy 4:12 that Paul sent Tychicus to Ephesus. Ephesus is where Timothy was a pastor. And so in order for Timothy to come and visit Paul, Paul sends Tychicus to the church in Ephesus to minister to them. Think about the great trust that Paul had in this man, to send him to give relief to pastors like Titus and Timothy. And the great trust that he had in Tychicus to choose him to deliver the letter to the Colossians and this letter to the Ephesians. And what an incredible privilege to be the one who delivered this letter. Says a lot about his character, that he was entrusted with this task. And that journey from Rome, where Paul was, to Ephesus was not an easy journey. If we wanted to go visit one of our ministry partners somewhere in the world, we could get there pretty easily and comfortably. It would have taken Tychicus and whoever else was with him no less than 3 weeks to get to Ephesus. And the journey would have been expensive and uncomfortable and dangerous. Tychicus was a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. Look again at verse 21. "So that you may also know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything." Paul says, "I'm sending Tychicus, who will tell you everything." Obviously, Tychicus would tell the Ephesians everything concerning Paul and his situation. But could everything also mean everything about this letter? Could Tychicus have been the first person to preach Ephesians to the Ephesians? It's possible that Tychicus also acted as Paul's scribe, the one who wrote down this letter on parchment paper. Maybe he and Paul discussed the content of Ephesians together, as Paul was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Does Paul mean by "Tychicus will tell you everything" that if they needed something in this letter explained, that they were to ask him? Maybe if you're wondering how this applies to the fellowship in your church or home, well, ask Tychicus. Maybe they had questions about what Paul meant by we don't battle with flesh and blood. Or why does Paul continue to say again and again in this letter, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ? You know, and there were Jews and Gentiles in the congregation who were hearing about this dividing wall of hostility that has now been broken down, and that they were to strive to pursue the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, how are they to practically live that out? Maybe Tychicus helped them understand. It's possible, since Tychicus was a faithful minister in the Lord, that when Paul says he will tell you everything, that Tychicus was the one who taught this letter to the church there. And then in verse 22, Paul writes, I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. This is the purpose for sending Tychicus. For the Ephesians to know how Paul was doing, and for them to be encouraged. Tychicus would give them information about Paul's circumstances. He states it in three ways. In verse 21, he says, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. And then in verse 22, so that you may know how we are. There were others with Paul who were ministering in Rome. And Tychicus would be able to give a firsthand account of how Paul was doing. Don't you agree it's helpful to get updates from our missionaries? To know how they're doing? To know how we can pray for them? The Ephesian believers would definitely want to know how Paul's health was, what his house arrest was like, but also how God was using him to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul knows that the church in Ephesus had been praying for him, and so he sends Tychicus to give them a report on what God was doing in his life and through him. They were probably wondering, well, you know, what does Paul look like now? Is he eating well? Does he have all that he needs? Is there some sort of support that we can send back to him? How can we be praying for Paul? And Tychicus had all this information to know how Paul was doing and for them to be encouraged, for their hearts to be encouraged. Tychicus, being a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, was an encourager. Paul knew to send him. He knew that Tychicus would give the Ephesians encouragement. And if you think about it, Paul is in prison, and he's the one in danger. And yet his concern is that the Ephesian congregation would be encouraged. He's willing to send Tychicus, one of his best guys, someone who probably brought him great comfort and encouragement, so that the Ephesians would be encouraged. We see Paul's pastoral heart in this letter. Paul was willing to send out the best men whom he knew would help others. He was constantly investing in and relying on people like Tychicus and Titus and Timothy in his efforts to share the gospel and build up churches. And so from Paul's example, we can learn from it to invest in others, to pour into them so that they could join us in sharing the gospel and ministering to others. That's what Jesus commanded us to do, to make disciples. And what's amazing about these letters of Paul in the New Testament is that while they're filled with these amazing gospel truths and these rich theology and the great practical application for us, we also see the personality of Paul. His character. He loved the people that he ministered to. And he didn't do ministry alone. Paul had a group around him who ministered with him. He served with a team. Whenever Paul traveled or planted churches or was imprisoned, he always had dedicated believers around him. The Christian life is not meant to be lived in isolation. Having a community of believers around you is so important, and Paul modeled this for us. And then also knowing what we know about Tychicus, that should lead us to pray, Lord, in my generation, in my sphere of influence, in my church, make me like Tychicus, a beloved brother or sister, a faithful minister in the Lord. We should look for ways to be encouragers, to pray for others, to build one another up spiritually. In these greetings, we see the beloved brother and now the double benediction. Look at Paul's final words in this letter, verse 23. He says, "Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible." Paul gives a double benediction here. Benediction just means a good word. Literally, it's a blessing. It's a word of blessing from God. And if you think about our liturgy, how our service is structured, we start with a call to worship, where scripture is read. And this is not us calling each other to worship, but it's God calling us to worship through his word. So that's how we begin our service. And then at the end of the service, we have a benediction where I come up here and I say, hear this blessing from our great God. And benedictions have been used by the people of God since the Old Testament times. One of the most famous benedictions, one that you've probably heard before, comes from Numbers chapter 6, where Aaron, the brother of Moses, who was the first high priest, pronounced, "The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And Paul is the one who has written most of the benedictions in the New Testament. And here, he's given a double benediction. Paul gives a benediction in verse 23, and then he gives another one in verse 24. And this double benediction perfectly summarizes the blessings that we have in Christ that this letter has pointed out. What Paul is doing here is that he's praying that all of these amazing truths that this letter to the Ephesians has laid out, and he's praying that these blessings would be theirs. He first says, "Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul blesses all who are in Christ. And just so you know, the Greek word for brothers here refers to both brothers and sisters together. So we could translate this to "peace be to the brothers and sisters." And he says, "Peace be to you." Peace is a major theme that we see all throughout this letter. Those who were alienated from God and from one another now have peace with God and with each other. And this peace has been made possible through the cross of Jesus Christ. And it has been made known through the proclamation of the gospel. Paul wrote earlier that Jesus himself is our peace, and he came to us who were far off and near and preached peace to us. Those who are in Christ are at peace with God. Why? Because our sins have been removed, and we've been clothed with the righteousness of God. We are no longer under the wrath of God. We are at peace with him. And so we can say that he is our Father, and we are his beloved children. And this peace with God should produce peace in our relationships within the church and peace in our hearts. This morning, are you at peace? Are you at peace with God? The only way to be at peace with God is by believing in Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is blessing them with peace and love and faith. And he says that these things come from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is a gift from God. This is one of the things that Paul taught in this letter. By grace, we have been saved through faith. And faith is not our own doing. It's a gift from God. We were spiritually dead, but he has now brought us to faith by raising us from spiritual death to spiritual life. Faith is a gift, and so is love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. God's eternal plan of salvation shows just how loving God is. His love is broad enough to embrace the world. It's long enough to last for eternity. It's high enough to lift us to heaven, and yet it's deep enough to reach the worst of sinners. If you are in Christ, you are at peace and have love and have faith. But we need to grow in these things. And that's what Paul is praying for here. That's why Paul is pronouncing this blessing, that they would experience peace and love with faith, that God would bless them with more. And lastly, he says in verse 24, grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Grace was the first word in Paul's greeting. And it's the major theme that we see all throughout this book. And so here, Paul ends this letter the same way he started it, by praying for grace to come to those who are in Christ. Grace is God's free, undeserved, and unearned favor toward sinners. And this favor is secured by Jesus Christ. There is nothing in you, and there is nothing done by you. But this grace has been freely given. By grace, we have been saved. The gospel is a gospel. It's good news of amazing grace. It was God's grace that elected us. It was God's grace that saved us. And it's God's grace that keeps us and will bring us safely into glory. We were saved by grace at the beginning, and we are continually being sanctified by his grace. We live in full dependence upon the grace of God. And notice the final words here. Grace be to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Paul here is reminding us that there's peace and there's love and grace for those, and yet those only who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who love him to the end. And what's really interesting about how Paul ends this is the only place in this letter where the believer's love for Christ is mentioned. Every other time in this letter, it is God's love for us. And so there's an encouragement and a challenge here about our personal relationship with Jesus. Paul has prayed in this letter that his readers would have strength to comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ. And when that love is understood, and when it's received, it's met with an answering love. We, in return, begin to love him. And it says that the believer's love for Jesus is incorruptible, a love that will never die, a love that will last for eternity. Because it's a love that was born in the heart by the Spirit who will never leave us. And the same Spirit who began a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. It would be good for us to ask ourselves whether we love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love that is incorruptible. That's why Jesus asked Peter when Peter was restored after Jesus was resurrected. Jesus asked Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" When we struggle with obedience or coldness in our faith or with a specific sin, our great need is to rediscover the grace and the love of Jesus towards us. We constantly need to be reminded of the gospel. That's what Paul is getting at here. It is in Jesus that we have every spiritual blessing. And without him, there is no salvation. Without him, there is no reconciliation with God. And so understanding what God has done for us in Jesus Christ will lead us to grow in our love for him. Paul began this letter with praise to God who has blessed his people with every spiritual blessing. And now he ends with this double benediction. He prays for the Ephesians. He prays that God would strengthen them and bless all who love his son with a love that is incorruptible. And so consider this morning, do you love Jesus Christ? And will you live for him in the church and at home and in the world? Remember what this letter has taught us. What we believe should shape how we live. Believing in Jesus means loving him and living like him. And so as we leave here today, let's look for ways to build each other up and to remind each other of the hope that we have in Christ. Because he is the source of our encouragement. And he is God's grace to us. So let's love him with all of our hearts, and let's live for him in every moment. May the peace, love, and grace of God be with all of us who love him. Those who love Jesus seek to encourage one another and rely on God's grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truths that are contained in this book. And we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your patience with us. We pray that the truths that we have studied over the last 2 months would stay in our hearts and be reflected in our lives long after our study of this book is over. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to love Jesus more. And as we leave this place, may your peace, love, and grace go with us, empowering us to live lives worthy of our calling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.